I want to tell you a story this morning of the first time I lost anything of any value. Well, not so much lost, but first time anything of any value was stolen from me, taken from me. I was in college at the time, and what had happened was I was leading worship for Bible Study Union. I was leading worship for Bible Study Union, BSU, or Baptist Student Union, rather, BSU. And I was playing guitar weekly, and so therefore I was carrying my guitar with me wherever I went. Well, one night, I had my guitar in the car, and I was driving home that night. It was kind of late, and something just felt a little off. You know, I always kept my guitar in the car, and it's been a couple days since I had checked on it. Well, something seemed a little funny, so I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I reached around and noticed my guitar wasn't there. It was in the back seat, you see. My heart just sunk. I loved my guitar. It wasn't in great shape or anything. It wasn't like an antique or anything like that, but it was useful to me, and I really enjoyed using it. So my heart just sunk, and I realized my guitar's not there. Maybe it's at home. You know, maybe I'll go home. I'll check there. It'll be at home, right? I just forgot that I took it out of my car, right? Well, I went home and it wasn't there. And whenever something is stolen from you like that, something that you really love, your heart just sinks, you know. And I realized after that, well, maybe there's something else out of my car that was stolen as well. I checked my car and all my CDs were gone as well. When people steal something from you, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's small or large, they've stolen something from you. And it's not so much what they've stolen, but it's just the fact that somebody has taken something that's yours. You know, I want to talk to you this morning about how people may steal all kinds of things from your life, but they can never steal what's inside of you. They can never steal your joy, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. John chapter 16 is where we'll be looking. Jesus talked about how we can never lose the joy that we have in Christ. John chapter 16. Starting in verse 12. Jesus said, "I have many more things to say to you now, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify Me, for he will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. A little while and you will no longer see Me, and again a little while and you will see Me." Some of His disciples then said to one another, "What is this thing He is telling us? A little while and you will see Me, and again a little while and you will see Me, and because I go to the Father." So they were saying, "What is this thing He says, a little while? We don't know what He's talking about." Jesus knew that they wished to question Him, and He said to them, "Are you deliberating together about this, that I said, a little while, and you will not see Me, and again a little while, and you will see Me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. Whenever a woman is in her labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you." Let's pray. Father, thank You so much that You've come into the world, that You sent Your Son into the world so that we might have joy in Him, so that our sins would be forgiven, so that the griefs and the trials that we experience in this life will one day be all in the past. And we look forward to that day when we rejoice in heaven, where all of our sins are completely dealt with. We no longer have a body of flesh that drags us down, but we rejoice in Christ even now, knowing that in Him we have complete joy. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to begin with the end in mind for this lesson this morning. So the end is there in verse 22. Jesus said, "Therefore you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you." Jesus told his disciples that their sorrow would be turned into joy. And even now in our lives, we have many sorrows. We have many reasons to say, "I just don't know how I'm going to make it through even today." But beginning with the end in mind, right now, I like to say that Jesus wants to turn your sorrow into joy. And that's not something that you have to wait for. That's something that you can experience today. See, joy is not something that is limited by our circumstances. Joy is something that we have despite our circumstances. It's knowing that Christ is with us no matter where we are in life. It's knowing that Christ suffered all of the weight of our sin so that we didn't have to suffer that weight of our sin, but that Christ took it upon himself when he suffered on the cross so that we would have hope forever. Not just one day in the future, but starting now, starting today, starting the moment that we believe in Christ as our Savior. And Jesus gave this illustration of a woman forgetting the pains of her bearing a child. We have now three children in our home, and all three of them were born without pain medication. Now, to some, I'm sure that sounds crazy. You know, if I myself were in labor, I'd say, "Give me the drugs." But my wife was very brave, and she did her research beforehand and decided, well, it's probably better for her. She would rather suffer the pain during the childbirth than afterwards. And there was research to show that people experience more pain afterwards if they go ahead and get the pain relievers and all that. So she braved the pain before her and decided no drugs. Well, she had a lot of pain during that. I can tell you that. All three children going through that process. I was sitting right next to her side, and she'd cry out. I remember when Amber was born, she'd cry out, "Baby, you're hurting mommy. You're hurting mommy." She was telling the baby she was hurting her. But afterwards, right afterwards, not within 10 minutes, I remember Abby saying, right after Amber was born, "It wasn't too bad." Just 10 minutes after crying out, it wasn't that bad. And a few days later, I remember Abby saying, "It was kind of fun." Going through that whole process of expecting the baby to come soon, she just completely forgot about all the pain that she'd gone through. The same story with the other two children. There are a lot of pains in childbirth. It's a very vivid illustration of right now in our life we experience many pains. But afterward, after our lives are over, we can look back and say it was well worth it. We can look back and not even remember the torture of not being able to pay our bills. Not even remember the torture, the anguish of people looking down on you because of your faith, saying that you're not an intelligent person because you're accepting something by faith that they don't see any proof for. Of course, they're having faith too, aren't they? People who say that. There's an enormous amount of faith that a person who doesn't believe in God has to take. But we have joy not just one day in the future. We have joy today. And that's what's going to get us through the day, is the joy that we have in Christ. Because Christ is victorious. Look at verse 33. We didn't read it yet, but that's the conclusion of the chapter. "These things," Jesus said, "I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." See, no matter what we're going through, we too can be victorious. Not because we're powerful, but because Christ has overcome the world. And we have Christ inside of us. Put yourself in the apostle's shoes, going back to verse 12 now. You've been following Jesus for nearly 3 years at this point. This is close to the end of Jesus' ministry. So you've been following this whole time, and you really know Jesus, and Jesus really knows you. You experience all the love that Jesus shows to people. You constantly hear him talking about his love for you and God's love for you. And you've personally seen his miracles that he's taken place. You're convinced that this is the Son of God. But you still don't completely understand the full picture of what's going to happen, of why Christ came to die on that cross. And you certainly don't see all the implications of Christ's death, how it's going to forgive you of your sins, how there won't be any need for sacrifices any longer. You don't see the implication that the Holy Spirit's going to come down and be inside of you. So when Jesus tells you that he's going to go away, it's not a joy that you experience in your heart. It's an immense sorrow. You're one of your greatest friends, the person that you've come to accept is the Messiah. You don't completely understand what that term is supposed to mean, but he is the Son of God. And he says he's going to leave you? Look at verse 16. Jesus said, "A little while and you will no longer see me. And again a little while and you will see me." And his disciples just didn't understand why he had to leave. So Jesus tells them in verse 12, he says, "I have many more things to say to you now, but you can't bear them. I've got a lot to tell you, but you can't handle it right now because you're in this state right now where you don't have a clear picture of why I even came. I have to go to that cross," Jesus said. "And you're going to have so much joy that you won't even remember the sorrow that you're going through right now." And Jesus told them the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to teach you everything that I want to teach you now, but you just won't get it if I teach you right now. You won't see it because I have not yet gone to the cross, and I have not yet come back from the dead. See, right now you're still in this sorrow. And sometimes in our lives, in the midst of sorrow, we can't see the big picture. We can't see how Christ wants us to go through that sorrow, that period of sorrow, so that we might come out of it and have a greater joy than we could possibly have without going through that in the first place. The promise of the Holy Spirit coming to teach them was initially for the apostles. Look at verse 13. Jesus told them, "But he, the Spirit of truth, comes. When he comes, he will guide you into all the truth." This is why we can trust the New Testament. Of course, the Gospels are written about the life of Jesus, but then the rest of the New Testament, all the epistles, all the letters that were written by the apostles, the reason we can trust that they are from God is because Jesus promised right there the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. But it wasn't just for the apostles. It was also for us. If we keep in step with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, who lives inside of our hearts, he will guide us so that we might glorify God in all that we do. He gives us a peace and a joy that overcomes all of our circumstances, overcomes all the trials that we face in this life. And no one can steal that joy away. That's a joy that's going to be ours for all eternity. In verse 22 again, Jesus said, verse 20 rather, "Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice," talking about when Christ himself dies. "You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy." And then in verse 22, "Therefore you grieve now, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice, and no one will steal your joy away from you." In order to lose the joy that we have in Christ, as many believers do, it must be us, the ones that actively give up that joy. See, the world around us can't steal the joy that's in our hearts. The circumstances of our lives will not take that joy away. The only reason we lose hope is that we take our eyes off of Christ. We've given up the joy. We've given up the hope at that point. It's not that the world has taken it from us. We've given it freely. If we embrace Christ, if we hope in him, if we trust in him, then nobody can take our joy away from us. Nobody can take away that peace. So if you're not experiencing that kind of joy, why not? If you're not experiencing joy in Christ, then why not? Is it because you've never fully put your trust in Christ? That's an option. Or maybe you've put your full trust in Christ, but then you've given up that joy of your own accord. It's not that the world's taken it from you. It's that you've taken your eyes off of Christ. Of course, I'm not talking about happiness here. That comes and goes. Based on the circumstances of our lives, sometimes we're going to have sorrow. We're going to have grief in this world. I'm talking about something much deeper than happiness. I'm talking about a contentment in this life, in Christ, that goes far beyond our circumstances. People may steal our possessions, but we can still have a joy in Christ that's far deeper than what we have in this life. And even if nobody steals your possessions, possessions are very temporary, right? We can't have joy in those things. Not that it's going to last us forever. Joy in Christ is eternal. Because only Christ, only God, is the eternal being that we can have joy in. So that all these things that are in this life, we can't take them with us. See, my guitar, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed playing it, you know. I enjoyed leading worship through it, and that's a great thing. But having joy in a guitar is nothing like having joy in Christ. When they stole that guitar, my heart did sink. But nobody can steal Christ. So that joy will never be taken away from us. Of course, not only our possessions, but our hope and our happiness can be taken away from us if they do not ultimately find themselves in Christ. Christ is the one person, the one being that we're to have our joy in. And nobody can take that away. So my question this morning is, do you have joy in Christ? Do you have that eternal contentment in Christ that nobody can take away? And if not, why not?